Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northland International University. And Doc, we are actually at a great time in our year. We are probably at the time of the year where we enjoy family and just celebrate life more than any other time, perhaps other than Easter. And that's really as we come into the Christmas season, because we celebrate the birth of Christ, and we were talking in our last broadcast that it's more than just the birth of Christ. It's the incarnation of God. God coming in flesh to dwell among men. And we have an Old Testament story that we began looking at last time we were together to kind of help us bring this home and help us to see the application of this to our own lives. And I'm talking about the story of Elijah the prophet's successor, Elisha, and one of the first miracles that he did in his ministry after his master departed. And you had been talking to us a little bit about the fact that that miracle really does in many ways portray the situation in many churches and in many homes and in our own lives today, that God attempted to resolve and made possible a resolution for in the sending of his own son in the incarnation, which is why we celebrate Christmas. And we're talking, obviously, about the prophet Elisha, and we're specifically referencing the parallels between his ministry to a woman and her husband at the occasion of the death of a child in their home, and God's ministry to us through Christ. And so I thought maybe I'd read the account, and then we can get into a discussion. That kind of catches our listener up to where we were in our last broadcast. But let me take you to the account in 2 Kings chapter 4. And we're just going to read a few verses. We're going to start in verse 18, talking about this child that God had given to this couple. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father and to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he, the father, said to the lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to the Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me."
So we go from exhilaration of God giving a child in a miraculous way, or appearing to be a miraculous way, to losing that child, where that mother who so dearly loved that child saw the child fall limp as she was holding him. She put the child on the man of God's bed and took off looking
for him.
And as you read in this story, she got a servant and said, "Get me this donkey. Let's go, and we are going to go and find." Now, here is Elisha and Gehazi standing, and they see a person appear. And Elijah said, "That looks like that Shunammite woman. Go ask her, is it well with her? How is it with you personally? Is it well with your husband? How is it with your partner? Is it well with the child? How is your parental role?" That's a great, great three-point outline. Personally, partner, parentally. And she lied to him. She said, "It is well." And there's a lesson here. People will not bear their hearts to somebody they don't trust. I don't think she trusted Gehazi. I don't think she had any interest in sharing her heart to Gehazi, because I think she saw something in Gehazi that made her not trust. And so she said, "It is well." And she continues on.
She just gave kind of a surface answer.
It's like just like in a church level. How are you? Tremendous. Truth of the matter is you just had a knockdown dragout at home. You just were
so
yelling
true.
At the kids on the way to church. And what would it be like some Sunday morning if somebody comes up and says, hey, how's it going? Hey, do you have a couple of minutes to pray with me? I lost it about 5 minutes ago, and I really need your prayer. And somebody says, go ask Sam how he's doing. It's fun because, boy, he'll unload on you. Now, when you ask somebody how they are, you're not expecting them to bring medical records and unfold the latest x-rays. But it does not hurt once in a while to be honest.
Right, exactly.
But we're not going to bare our hearts to somebody that we really don't trust.
Or that we perceive not real interested.
Or not interested. And so what does she do? She leaves and goes and takes Elisha by the legs and is grabbing him by the legs in desperation.
Mm-hmm. There's the desperate parent.
Yeah. And Gehazi is trying to pull her away. And what does Elisha say? Let her alone. Her soul is vexed within her. How many people sitting in the pew of our churches this coming Sunday morning are vexed in their soul and they cannot say a word to anybody? Because they don't know who they could share this load with. Mm-hmm. Who could we? But I can't talk to anybody. And Elisha said, let her alone. Her soul is vexed in her. And then she said, Elisha, didn't I tell you don't lie to me when you said we were going to have a child? Well, God gave us a child. Now the child is dead. The child is laid on the bed. So he sends Gehazi with his staff, mm-hmm. laid the staff on the face of the child. Gehazi comes back and said, there's neither voice nor hearing. A dead stick carried by a dead servant laid on a dead head equals dead. Dead plus dead plus dead equals dead. The power was never
That's depressing
in,
math.
The power was never in that stick.
Right.
The power was in the bearer of that stick whom God had empowered by his Spirit's power within them for that anointing, for that task.
Mm-hmm.
So he comes back and Elisha goes himself. And that's the core of this broadcast and all of the next broadcast.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We will be actually getting into the core of this.
Now, so what happened when he got to the child?
Gehazi comes back. Read verse 31 through verse 37.
Well, as you said, Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, that's Elijah, and said, the child is not awaked. And when Elijah was come to the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in, therefore, and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him and the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi, and he said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out.
Okay, now what made the difference between a Gehazi and an Elisha? Look what Elisha did. Let's pick this story up in verse 33 of 2 Kings chapter 4. Number one, I call this the principle of proximity. He went in.
Mm.
Go to where the problem is. When there's an issue, go to where the problem is.
And in a sense, isn't that what God did in the incarnation?
Right. We had a sin problem. We were separated from God. We were under the full wrath of God.
We were the dead child.
Yes. And the incarnation came. That's what Christmas is all about. God took on flesh.
He didn't send an angel.
No.
You know, he came himself. He sent his own son.
And in this incarnation, he came to where the problem was. Mm. He came to the world. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so there was that meeting of the need, going to where the problem is. And you take this to a husband-wife relationship. How do you solve an issue? You go to where the problem is. It's not her sleeping upstairs and him on the couch. It's not them being in two different places.
Mm.
He takes the initiative or she takes the initiative to go to where the issue is.
Mm-hmm.
Practice proximity. He went in. And we see somebody struggling. If I'm a church member and I know somebody is struggling, I know they're carrying a heavy load, I need to practice proximity. Mm-hmm. I go to that person and I said, I just want to pray with you. I just want to help you. I am available for you. And how we need to see that happening. And then what did he do? He shut the door. Privacy. I call it the principle of privacy. And in this principle of privacy, he gave that person time and attention. You see what was built right into Mosaic law. When a man first married, he had one whole year to be just with his wife. That's proximity and privacy. So that there is stabilizing that relationship. You remember years ago, Dr. Ross Campbell wrote a book, and it was How to Really Love Your Child. And he operated on four basic ideas in the book. Number one was the idea of eye contact. How do you really love your child? Through eye contact. Ever try to talk to somebody and they're looking past you and, and around you? And
when they're not focused.
Or they're not focused. And somebody comes up to you with a problem and you stay walking and you put your arm in it and say, I love you, brother, and you disappear. Best thing to do is plant your feet, look that person in the eye, and communicate. And Ross Campbell said, you love a child by eye contact. You look that person straight in the eye. Mm-hmm. And a guilty child will not look mom or dad in the eye. He'll lock his chin into his chest with his eyes tightly locked, and you have to pry the eyes open. But guilt doesn't want to look at a compassionate gaze.
Yeah.
When Christ was being beaten, they wrapped a cloth about his head. I wonder why. Was it the gaze of compassion they couldn't handle? Mm. It certainly wasn't out of mercy. And when Peter sinned, and then Jesus looked at him.
Boy, that looked pierced, didn't
it? Yeah, it was a piercing look. We communicate compassion in the eye contact.
You know, when you talked about, I'm just sitting here listening, processing, and I'm sure our listeners are doing this, Doc, but here's this Old Testament story of a servant that came, and you, as you said, the principle of proximity, and then he gave dedicated time and attention to somebody in need, desperately in need, which is the principle of privacy, and that's exactly what Jesus did in the Incarnation.
Yes.
He came near, God with us, and he gave us dedicated time and attention. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he gave up all of that to come and meet our need. I'm looking forward to the next broadcast as we look at the next three parts of this picture that God has painted, but it'll have to be the next broadcast because we're all out of time on this one. As we continue our series, How to Incarnate the Incarnation, I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless.